The reading's taken from Jeremiah 18, which is page 646 in the Church Bibles. Starting to read from verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoilt in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to it to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return, everyone, from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds. But they say, that is in vain. We will follow our own plans, and will everyone act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart? This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Ruth, very much. Let's pray as we begin. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have spoken through the prophets. We say this week by week in the Creed, and we thank you that you still speak. Please speak to us this evening, we pray, in your mercy and in Jesus' name. Amen. No need to turn to it, but just a few verses from Romans chapter 9. You will say to me then, why does he, God, still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is moulded say to its moulder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honourable use and another for dishonourable use? Sometimes you need to see something to understand it. This happens from time to time in the prophets, that rather than speaking God's word, they see and demonstrate God's word. God's word made visual, tangible, physical. And that's the case with Jeremiah here. We've had 17 chapters of God speaking to his people through his prophet, and his people constantly turning away and turning away and turning away. And sadly, the process is going to continue after our passage tonight. But here is God saying, right, I'm going to show you, Jeremiah. Jeremiah's really struggled with the message that he's had to deliver. It's almost an unthinkable message that God is going to reject his people, this people whom he has chosen, whom he has saved, whom he has sustained all through these centuries, right from the patriarchs onwards. God says, now the time has come. They have rejected me, and I have rejected them. And this blew Jeremiah's mind. He was faithfully relaying this. He was faithfully speaking God's message to his people. But it was breaking his heart. It was tearing him apart. And so God says, all right, I'm going to show you now. Go down to the potter's house. and there I will let you hear my words. So, Jeremiah, you won't actually take this in till you've seen it. What did he see in the potter's house? I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. So here's this skilled workman working away and producing what he wants to produce. Even if the clay is spoiled, he still makes what he wants to make. I don't know whether you've got a visual image of this. It's a very visual, tangible thing, isn't it? I've never actually done it, but I can imagine to be able to do that, to be able to produce something out of nothing, a pot out of a lump of clay, is a remarkable thing. And to watch it happen, it seems almost miraculous, the way the vessel just arises out of the clay. And Jeremiah needed to see this to understand what this message was that God had given him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Of course. Jeremiah has seen it with his own eyes, and now he understands that God has every right to do whatever he wishes with these people. He is completely sovereign. I have a conversation with a friend of mine at times. He struggles with the idea of God's sovereignty. And he said to me once, well, Dan, what's the point of praying to God if he's sovereign, if it's all going to happen anyway? To which my reply is, what's the point of praying to God if he's not sovereign, if he actually hasn't got control? And when we say in the Lord's Prayer later on, your kingdom come, Jesus told us to say that because his kingdom will come. And somehow, remarkably, God builds our prayers into that process. If we don't pray, his kingdom will still come. We just won't be part of it. So God is sovereign. That's what Jeremiah has seen when he sees this process going on in the potter's house. He sees and he gets that God is entirely sovereign, and in particular, sovereign over his people. And Jeremiah desperately needed to do that, because in this same chapter, later in the chapter, this is what the people are going to say. Come, let us make plots against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us strike him with the tongue, and let us not pay attention to any of his words. Here he is with a message which God knows and Jeremiah has discovered they're not going to listen to. But it's all part of God's sovereign purpose. Some of us were at the Northwest Partnership yesterday, and we were reminded that when people reject God's word hasn't failed. That was God's purpose for his word in their case. God is sovereign whether people reject or receive his word. And that's what we find in the rest of the chapter. There are two possibilities, both brought about by the sovereign word of God. The first possibility is described in verses 7 and 8. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do it. And people say, hang on, I thought God was sovereign. I thought he had a perfect plan. Is this God changing his mind? No, this is just one result of God's word. Of course, God's word warns us, and one possible result of that is that we repent. If that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, well, why have they turned from its evil? Because God's sovereign word has done its work. And this is a classic description of repentance. Turning from evil, not just feeling guilty, not just feeling bad, not just remorse or regret, but turning round. That's what repentance is, isn't it? So repentance is, I'm going this way, and I turn round to go in the opposite direction. Until I actually am going in the opposite direction, I haven't repented. And God says, in this case, my word has turned these people round. And so, of course, I will not bring upon them the evil of which I warned them. So in one case, God's word brings rescue, God's sovereign word brings rescue for the repentant. But there is another case here, isn't there? Verse 9, and if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I intended to do it. God's word is full of wonderful promises. Somebody once told me there's a promise for every day of the year. I haven't counted them myself, but I dare say that is true. And all God's promises are yes in Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't you believe them and receive them and listen to them? Because that's the effect God's word has on some people. God's sovereign word causes some to reject it. And if they do, they won't get the benefit of the promises. So we've had rescue for the repentant, and we have ruin for the rebellious. And both those results are brought about by God's word. Because he's the master potter. He's got the clay in his hand. He's the potter, we're the clay. And he's sovereign over both. It's no good saying, well, Lord, how can you blame me if I rebel? He's the potter. I'm the clay. And it's certainly no good patting myself on the back if I do repent. He's the potter. I'm the clay. It's his work in both cases. Now, how did Jeremiah apply this? He applied this, or rather God's word applied this, directly to the people of his time. Verse 11, now therefore say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. I'm sovereign. Return, turn round, everyone from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds. I'm sovereign, you're responsible. We can't square that circle, but they're both clearly true. They must be true. Behold, I'm shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return everyone from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds. It sounds urgent, doesn't it? He's not saying, take your time, think about it, you know, weigh up the pros and cons. He says, return. Disaster's coming, turn round. And that's still the message, isn't it? That's still the message that God has for the world. Repent or face ruin. And how did Israel respond? But they say, this is in vain. We will follow our own plans, and will everyone act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. We don't believe that you're sovereign. We're in charge, and we'll do what we want. Well, it doesn't matter whether they believe it or not. It's still true. And of course, they are bringing about his sovereign will by their very unrepentant attitude. It's tragic, but if it wasn't so tragic, it would be laughable. We'll follow our own plans. No, you're following God's plans. If you repent, you're following his plans. If you reject, you're following his plans. You cannot escape from the potter. How do we apply this to ourselves? Well, we apply this to ourselves, first of all, by taking this message very seriously. Because we too are God's people. And God says to us, as he said to his people then, return. That's why we start with confession. Because every time we come together, we need to repent. It's not a once-for-all thing. It's not something that I just did in 1972 when I became a Christian. Something I need to do every day of the week. And we need to do as God's people when we meet together in his name. Somebody once said to me, how long do you think God trusts you, Dan, to go the right way? I didn't know. Thought I might manage a week or two. He said, not 1 hour. Return, repent. It's the Christian life in a nutshell. A life of repentance and faith. And we can't do it without the potter. It's his work with us and in us and through us. We're in his hands all the time. He's making us what he'd have us be. So we don't take any credit for it, do we? If I think I'm doing well, it's not me. If I think I'm doing badly, it's his work. Return, return, return. That's the first thing that we need to know. And there could be some reassurance in it, couldn't there? Because if we feel we have had a bad week or month or year, there's always repentance. And there is also a warning in it. Because if we feel we're doing rather well, don't take it for granted. He can relent of the good that he's promised. Clay in the hands of the potter. That's the first application to us as his people today. The second application is this. Whatever happens, this message has got to go out, hasn't it? It's got to go out through us. There's nobody else it can go out through. And it will have one of two results. People will either repent or reject it. Some of us were quite encouraged yesterday to hear a very successful minister from Singapore says he reckons about 1 in 10 of the people in his congregation are truly repentant people. The others eventually push off. Remarkable statistic. But he said, I'm reminded not to be dejected by that, because whether they are the one who repents or the 9 who don't repent, it's still God at work. So the results are not up to us. The results are up to the potter. We're just messengers. It's his message, it's his sovereign word. Every time we read of Jeremiah, we read of the word coming to him. It's not him, it's not the prophet. Poor old Jeremiah really went through the mill, as we've seen already, as we shall go see still more. And he had a really, really difficult ministry and may even in the end have been killed for the message. But it wasn't him. It was God's work. It was God's word. In this passage of the potter, he's actually turning a kind of corner because in a way, this is their last warning. And when they reject that final warning later in the chapter, Jeremiah's got another visual aid from the potter to show them. And so he takes a little clay pot with him. He buys a clay pot from the potter. And he takes it to the gate of Jerusalem, where all the broken pots were thrown away. And he takes this pot and he shows it to the people and he smashes it. They've gone beyond the point of no return. And this is why it's urgent, because you don't know when that point of no return will come. And so we'd say to any here who haven't ever turned to Christ, don't wait, don't wait, don't delay. How can anyone turn away from their sin? We can't do it without the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus who never needed to repent, who's taken our place, who's taken on himself the ruin that rebellious people like us deserve when he died on the cross. And so we can repent and be rescued. So anyone here who you're still thinking about it, don't think too long. Repent and be rescued. You're in the good hands of the potter. Amen.